You're listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 41, featuring Mercy Me.
My son, who's a diabetic, who's 15 now, we're going to a checkup. And whether the checkup was good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's just that reminder that this is very real and it's chronic. It's not going away. And so It could be the greatest checkup ever, but you still don't walk away going, yay, we did it. It's like, we're going to deal with this the rest of our lives. And that same day, we had a godly friend of ours who was asking us about diabetes, and she stopped and she goes, you know what? We're just going to pray that God heals him. And the good Christian in me kind of smiled like I normally do. I was like, yay, God is good all the time, that kind of stuff. But part of me, just because I was already having a rough day, wanted to grab her by the shoulders and say, really, you don't think I thought of praying for my son to be healed for the last 13 years?
You're about to hear what Mercy Me song began because of a bad day. What about recording their new album made them feel like kids again? How the first song Bart and Mike ever wrote together was for a school project? And why, after having the name of the album picked out for so long, they decided to change it to Lifer. I'm Justin Paul, along with Bart, Barry, Mike, Robbie, and Nathan from Mercy Me, and we're going to talk about a lot more than just the music.
More Than the Music is hosted by Justin Paul, a touring musician turned national radio personality who loves the dramatic, humorous, sometimes tragic, and often inspiring story behind the songs from your favorite artists. You can connect with the show at wayfm.com/Justin. Now here's your host, Justin Paul.
I am so thrilled to be joined on the More Than the Music podcast by Bart, Barry, Mike, Nathan, and Robbie from Mercy Me. How you guys doing?
Great.
Yay.
Hey, new record, Lifer, is out, and we're going to talk about the songs behind the album. Bart was on episode 8 previously, and here we are now, episode 41.
Whoa.
Talking about the new album.
You've been busy.
Anniversary. Well, I talked to a few people, you know.
I was 14.
So let's jump right into the title track. It's the first song on the album, Lifer. Why did you put it first, and why did you choose this as a title track?
Well, it wasn't our first choice for the album title. In fact, the song was written later in the process and had the idea of Lifer for the song, of just like, you know, Lifer is a phrase that's used like in prison or if you're in the military. And I just thought, man, it's a cool idea. We've even jokingly over the years said we've had crew guys or that we're band guys that we're lifers, like we're in this thing for the long haul. And I think after being a band for 23 years, I think it's safe to say that we're not going anywhere, Lord will, as long as people keep buying records. But spiritually, it's just like, our walk with Christ is not something that we can turn on and turn off. It's a part of us. It's part of who we are. It's Christ in us. And so even on the days when we think that we're turning it off or walking away from it and forget who we are, Christ doesn't forget. And so that's the beautiful thing about it, is that we're certainly in this thing for life and beyond that. And so it's just reminding people it's a marathon, not a sprint, and that there are days when everything falls into place and days when it just nothing makes sense. But luckily, our relationship with Christ is not based on the things that we do. And it's a morale booster. It's a war cry to the body to, hey, man, keep on keeping on.
In red light, my heart is beating. My lungs are breathing. I'll keep on singing for you. Even right through the moment. When you call me home, yeah, I'll still be singing for you. Because that's what life is doing. Because that's what life.
And it's a fun song. Like, I was writing, I was listening to these songs, I was making notes, and like, I just kept writing fun. Like, most of these songs on this record are like fun, upbeat songs.
Yeah, that's the plan. That was the hope, is that we want people to enjoy the journey that they have with Christ and live like, if you've read the last page of the book and know how this whole thing turns out, because nothing can take us out of the hand of Christ. Man, every second should be an adventure, and enjoy the fact that our eternity is set. And I always say that for us to have this unspeakable joy, sometimes we can be the boringest people on earth. And so it's like, man, have fun. In fact, one of the songs on the album kind of addresses that, is Heaven's Here. I met a lady years ago at a church camp. She was an older lady that was just looked beat down and tired. And she was like, she cracked a smile and said, I've been waiting my whole life to get to heaven. And it was heartbreaking. I was like, man, Christ is in you now. Like, enjoy now. Enjoy it. Ephesians says that in past tense, we've already been placed in the heavenlies. And so heaven, in a way, has already begun, because there's no more separation from Christ. In fact, that's why that song came about. But it's an overall theme of, man, enjoy where you are now. You know, for whatever reason, Christ has met us where we are, and we're able to live this life knowing that our eternity is secure. And it's, once you get that, it becomes an amazing adventure.
When
it's,
we spoke,
like, this is the great adventure.
I see what you did.
Throwing
it
so back. Saddle up your horses, guys.
SCC, making it onto the Mercy Me podcast.
We got a trail to blaze.
We spoke in episode 8, you were talking about how Welcome to the New was kind of a new birth for Mercy Me, and that before that record, you were thinking about maybe calling it quits. Was there a theme to this record? Was there a season of life that brought on these songs specifically?
Yeah. We actually had this conversation because Welcome to the New was like I've always said it's like discovering fire for me. This whole new perspective of the gospel hasn't changed, but understanding more of who I am because of the gospel has certainly changed. I'm not the bad person trying to be good, but because of Christ in me, I'm holy, righteous, and redeemed. And so it was a message that affected me personally in a huge way, to where I was very passionate and excited about that album more than anything we've ever done. And so we literally had the conversation of, where do we go now? You know, like, even though it's not about this, life's going to swing back, and it's going to sometimes feel like the honeymoon phase is worn off, and you know, we're excited now, but the enemy keeps telling us we're disqualified, and they keep pounding at us, and some days he's going to get the best of us. What do we say now? And I think Mike was the one that was like, I think we need to be an album about victory, about reminding them of, once again, of who we are in Christ, and how no matter what happens in life, no matter where we are, if we have Christ, ultimately we win. And in fact, that was the first song we wrote for the album literally a year ago, almost to the date. We went in the studio to start writing down ideas, and we had this one idea, started writing it, and for the only time in our career, we started the song, wrote it, recorded it, did everything in one day, to where it could have been mixed by that night about midnight,
wow.
Vocals and everything done, because we were so excited. We were jumping around and dancing and like, oh my gosh, we are so on to something, and then the process slowed way down. But that first one was like, we win, and we said, this is the first single. At the time, that was the name of the album, We Win. And for almost a year, it held up that no matter what we wrote, We Win still a single, until Even If. But the reason we changed the title was because I was watching, I guess, CNN or something, and after Trump won and all that stuff, they were asking some of these kind of real hardcore conservative, deep South Christian people, like, what do you tell the liberals? And he's like, hey, man, we win. And I was like, oh no.
We're changing the name.
I was like, I don't want to even be remotely, you know, I just, you know, and I thought, we can have a song called that, but if you see an album title, I don't want anyone to have a preconceived notion that we're one thing or the other. That's just, it's not a very good start, first impression of the album. So we're like, you know what? Let's not even go there. And we're already juggling that or Lifer. I was like, Lifer wins, dude. I love it.
And you talk about how upbeat it is. So it's, in the same way that, you know, it's victorious, it's a celebration.
I mean, you're talking about recording a song in a day. If you don't know, like, that's very unique. Like, that doesn't happen. Typically, when you record songs, you do it over several sessions, different players come in at different times. But you even mentioned in episode 8, when we were talking, as you were doing this record, that a lot of the times you guys were all in there together, like, in it deep together, and where that had not happened before in the past.
Yeah, and that song was, when we did that, I remember us sitting that day saying, because, you know, normally you go in a big studio to track drums and bass, and that's kind of your goal, because you can't just set up drums anywhere. And so you get that sound, and then it's like, okay, let's get them perfect. We'll mess with guitars and overdubs later. We'll do this, and it's a process. But we got in this barn, we're all playing live, and it was the energy, and we were so excited that we're like, what are we doing? If we always listen back, second guess, recut stuff. And so we kind of made a deal that day, whatever is laid down stays, because this is what's making us excited right now. It may not be perfect. And that's the reason we're like, let's push through. Let's push through. Let's not go back and go, I hate that guitar part. Let's do it like we're going to keep it. And it was exhilarating. It was really refreshing. And we didn't do the whole record that way. We tried for a little bit. Happy Dance was pretty close. We went. But yeah,
Happy Dance. There were a couple others that happened because we were in that barn. Like you already said, Happy Dance, Heaven's Here. Mm-hmm. Happened because we were all in there together.
You found me.
Grace, you found me. Me. Yeah.
Most of all them those did.
That. And We Win, I can listen to We Win, and it sounds like that room is open air. We had the garage doors open, stuff like that. I mean, it's just, you know.
It's like something you would sing at like a Manchester United soccer. It's like this anthemish thing. Right, it's really cool.
Who did that mess with the most? Like, who's the perfectionist that wanted to go back and recut stuff?
Mike.
I don't know if he's a perfectionist. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't believe that he's going to get it in the first take. Yeah. And he's always been, let me take a few shots at it. But in the moment, he was all about it. I don't think anybody was like, he was like, yeah, let's do it. And the key was also to not go back and just, if you sit on it long enough, you're going to be like, oh, I need to fix my hair.
Yeah, we would ditch everything. Yeah.
And so we just left it as is and kept moving on. And it's great. And it's one of Mike's favorite songs.
I'm the perfectionist. I would be the one being like, no, guys, that snare hit wasn't quite on the click.
Can Dude, they wouldn't even let me change the vocal. Like, I tried. I was like, okay, nobody's here. The rules don't apply. Let me read the vocal. And they went, no, we're not going to do it. And they absolutely would not let me do any of the vocals, redo them. So I was like, all right, whatever, you're fired.
That's incredible. I mean, a lot of the passion might get lost down the line the more you start tweaking and the more you start editing. And
well, you're always, as an artist, you're always growing. So you always are going to second guess. You write something 3 months ago, you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
When you go back and revisit it, if at some point you have to be okay with it and move on.
And when you're a band this long, you look for anything that kind of keeps you on the edge and makes it incredibly exciting for us as a band. Because, you know, you can just write songs and do the thing for years, but we do everything we can. And I think it shows because we're still a band, but just so that it doesn't get old. And that day, We Win, somebody said, man, let's keep going. Let's try to finish today. We're like, this is nuts. There's no reason to do it other than I feel like I'm 12. And it's like, I'm a kid again. And it was so much fun. Just being in this massive barn in south of Nashville where the control desk is in the middle of the room. There's no isolation. We're all in the room together. It was a killer vibe. And it was like, we had the time of our lives.
How tough is it to finish a song in one day?
It's impossible. I mean, well, it's not impossible, obviously, but we've never done it ever.
For us? Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first, hard. First time.
Yeah. Well, and for me, like, some I'm guys. The king of, we've always done our music first, and then I want to be alone and write the lyrics and go away. And we had a producer that grabbed me in the corner and said, start writing. We're doing it now. We're doing it now. And it's like, oh gosh, I want to sit on it. And like, so it was, as much as I was for doing it, it was a challenge on me. And just to track everything from nothing to get the melody and lyrics. I mean, there was nothing coming in. Mike had a little bit of a sample.
Guitar part, yeah.
But like melody, lyric, theme, everything to happen in that same day was insane because I take forever writing lyrics.
That barn was a special place.
It was fun. It really was.
And for the first time, too, a lot of the songs on the record we approached from, usually it's us getting together in a room, we make a lot of noise, but this time we were intentional about, we started with programming, if that makes sense. Like I said, let's find a cool sound, a loop groove, and start from there, which I don't think we've ever done that before. Started from something either electronic or something that we sampled and made ourselves. We usually don't start that way. Mm-hmm. This time we did.
Yeah, that drove the ship.
That would like be happening while one of us was cutting a guitar or something like that. Somebody else was like making a loop or doing something else. It was all happening at the same time.
Like on our last record, Welcome to New, Solomon Olds used to be the lead singer of Family Force 5. We started this unusual relationship. We started writing with him because he thinks so out of the box from what we normally do. And we know to have longevity, we don't want to assume that we're going to make one style of music forever and assume people are going to come to it. We try to evolve, I mean, you know, as much as we can for us. And so Solly got involved the last one. Well, we want him involved in this one, but we were moving at such a pace that we just called him and said, hey, dude, we're at the barn. You sit outside on the porch outside the barn and just come up with ideas, loops. And literally, he would sit outside and Nathan might be out there with him listening to loops going, that's cool. And once we got to point on one song, he would bring something in. We're like, oh, that's awesome. Let's write to that. And so everything was made up on the fly. And we had literally like different workstations coming up with stuff. And we'd kind of bring it to a committee and go, yeah, let's run with that. It was a blast, man. It was definitely a little workshop going.
I mean, it sounds like it's fun, but you're telling me like that process is impossible. Do you think God was involved in helping those songs like become what they were in those moments?
Dude, we've been a band for 23 years. God has been very much involved for us to stay a band like this. But yeah, it was definitely a God thing. I think that's what was exhilarating is that it's very easy to get tired of this or just kind of phone it in. And especially the last two records, it feels like we're just getting started. And that's such a great feeling for being a band this long. And so, yeah, we're fortunate that God moving through this is pretty evident, and we're fortunate enough to see it on a regular basis.
Man, the song that right now everyone's loving that's on Way FM, the first single off this album, Even If, I know there's a powerful story behind it for you, Bart, and what inspired the song.
Yeah, we were kind of had narrow sighted a little bit that we thought We Win would be the first single. And we knew Even If was special, but we thought it would be like the second single, because I think part of us as a band, when you're pigeonholed as a power ballad for so long, you love that whatever stretches you, you just want the crowd to hear. And We Win was that moment for the beginning. But the more we started listening to the record back, and we were like, what are we doing? Because this song, Even If, is like, you know, if there was a I Can Only Imagine type song on this album, why would it be the second or third single? Like, what? Who are we kidding? And every once in a while, you have a song that you write, and we've had a few that you just, you know, it doesn't matter how it connects with people, you know that it's like, this is the best thing that I've done on this record. Like, this is one of the moments on the album. And when that happens, when the lyrics and music and everything just falls right into place, it is intoxicating. It's like the reason you make music. And that was one of those moments. A lot of our songs, for me, is writing the lyrics, they come out of really hard times of life experience. You know, Imagine was written a few years after my dad passed away with cancer. Bring the Rain was after my son was diagnosed with diabetes when he was 2, he's now 15. And Homesick was after my brother-in-law was killed in a car accident. Hurt in the Healer was when my cousin was a firefighter killed in the line of duty. And it's all this tragedy. And my therapy is writing songs about it. And Even If was out of me simply having a bad day. My son, who's a diabetic, who's 15 now, we're going to a checkup. And whether the checkup was good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's just that reminder that this is very real and it's chronic. It's not going away. And so it could be the greatest checkup ever, but you still don't walk away going, yay, we did it. It's like, ah, we're going to deal with this the rest of our lives. And that same day, we had a godly friend of ours was asking us about diabetes. I don't know much about it. And we went through all the statistics and the stuff we've said for years. And she stopped and she goes, you know what? We're just going to pray that God heals him. And the good Christian in me kind of smiled like I normally do. I was like, yay, God is good all the time, that kind of stuff. But part of me, just because I was already having a rough day, wanted to grab her by the shoulders and say, really, you don't think I've thought of praying for my son to be healed for the last 13 years, you know? And just because I was having a bad day, nothing against her. She's an amazing person. But for whatever reason, I was going to Tim Timmons is one of my dearest friends, and I was going to his house to hang out. And I don't even know what we were meeting about, but we sat down and I just unloaded in tears, like, I'm having the worst day, man. And this lady doesn't even know, and she set it off. And Tim, for those that don't know, lives with cancer. He has this rare cancer in his blood that they say, man, you could live a day or 20 years. We don't know what to tell you. I think it's totally a God thing. But I forgot who I was talking to, and I was telling Tim, you don't even know what it's like to have a chronic illness, man. It's so hard. And he was just kind of grinning at me, that goofy grin. And we were in a studio, so he started playing piano like he was like Yanni or something, like background, like lounge music. I thought he was mocking me, and he was just hearing everything I was saying. And I was telling him, I was like, man, I just want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who stands in front of the fiery furnace and says, I know God can deliver me. I know that he can save me from this, but even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow. I'm still not going to surrender. He's worth it. And anyway, we kept talking, and I think I even thought he was kind of mocking me, so I kind of cut it short. And then not long after that, he sent me this text memo, and it's him singing a bunch of the words that I was saying during that time.
Wow.
And said, man, he goes, I wrote this chorus years ago. Part of the first half of the chorus he wrote with Crystal Lewis 5-6 years ago. And he goes, I tried and I just couldn't figure it out, and so we just ditched it. And so he started like showing me that and singing this deal. And so I remember telling him, like, man, I know I win some and lose some, but right now I'm losing so bad that it's so hard to stand on stage and tell people that God's going to get us through when I'm not even sure I believe that myself, which became ultimately the first verse. And so I heard it and I was freaking out. And so I couldn't write it quick enough. It was one of those few times where, like, I'm writing the second verse and I'm texting the guys. I'm like, I'm in tears. Like, I'm freaking out. Like, this is, and when I say it's a big song, it's not, this is a hit. This is a huge song for me. Like, it's,
yeah.
It's one of those moments to where it's very therapeutic. And so the label was like, okay, We Win's the first single. We're with you. It's your call. And we finally went up to him and said, hey, we're wondering if Even If shouldn't be the first one. And I thought they were going to start crying. That's what we've wanted the whole time, but it's up to you guys. And so they got on board, and man, it's the most added song in our career, which is crazy to say.
Wow, that's incredible.
Song. So it's been cool. I know you're able and I know.
My that song just meets people right where they are, because a lot of us have been praying for stuff that we haven't seen healed.
Right.
The worst has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, even for me in my own personal life, the other night, I was literally about to do my show, and I'd prepped every break, and everything was ready, and then I see a Facebook message from my friend who has been trying to have a child for the past couple of years, and they just found out that they were pregnant, and they go in for a routine checkup, and there's serious complications, and the baby's not going to make it. And if they don't do something quick, his wife's not going to make it. And man, I cracked a mic talking about that, and your song is the first song of my show, and I'm a wreck. Like, I can't even hardly get off the mic because I'm just hurting for him. And for me, just met me right where I was at. Like, Lord, I don't know why they've been praying for a kid for 2 years, and it seems like they're going to have one, and then it's gone.
Yeah,
but I know you're still good. I know you're still healer. And if it met me there in that moment, I know so many people are being met in that moment with this song too. It's powerful.
Trying to be transparent. And I think the first verse helps because the second verse is too, but some people, we didn't want people to think that we have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it figured out because, I mean, our walk with Christ is a practice of faith. It's when we're so uncertain, when the bottom falls out, it's like, all right, God, I know you can keep me from going through this season, but if you don't, even with uncertainty, our voice, you're still good. You know, you're still this. And you may not even feel that way, but it's a practice of trust and a practice of faith and saying, God, if you're in the high moments, you're in the low ones too. And we were talking today about, you know, like how do we, you know, talking about merch and making t-shirts. I was like, man, what would be cool is make a t-shirt just says, even if with one big blank, my hope is you alone, because man, you can fill that blank with anything. Even if the cancer doesn't go away, even if I get the greatest promotion ever, if I win the lottery, whatever, good or bad, our hope is still ultimately in him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about tragedy. It's about the highs and the lows and every point that no matter, nothing will trump, no pun intended, how good God is in our life, that it's all about him. And so I think it applies to anybody, and kind of like Imagine relates to people on different levels because everybody's lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
We all go through just sorry seasons in our life, and that truth applies no matter what.
I'm going to go ahead and give you a warning. When you listen to this record, it's going to be fun, 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 wreck your life.
I mean, that's just where we get you.
That's just the track list right there in essence right there.
Then like, tragedy
there's
no struck.
Warning. There's no like middle song that gets you ready.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, just get ready when you're listening about
but
track
then fun,
five.
Fun, fun after
yeah,
that.
Fun, yeah, fun, yeah. Fun, yeah. Fun. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Wreck your life.
I love that the whole band is here because last time it was just Bart. And everybody just wants to talk to Bart. Like, true. I don't know.
We only want to talk to Bart.
I
don't even like each other.
I don't get it, guys. I don't get it. So I'm gonna here's your chance to say whatever you want to say on this interview. Maybe you want to share an embarrassing story about Bart. Maybe you want to show your hidden talent. Maybe you want to talk about your kids.
Hi, Mom.
I want to get to know Barry, Nathan, Robbie, and Mike.
It's not a roast, then.
Who's first?
That's why.
What do you want to know?
This is why. This is
well,
why
no,
Bart
just think
so
of
much.
This as like if you had one thing to say, what were you gonna say?
Here, I'll let's,
oh, no.
This is not about you, guys.
No, I'll host it. I'll ask you the questions. I'll ask you the questions.
All right. It is roast time.
I'm gonna drink.
All right, you ready? So, Nathan, what,
yes,
do you, what do you play in the band?
The bass guitar.
What was the name of the first band you were ever in?
Officially?
Yes.
Hope of Glory.
Hope of Glory.
Oh, that's
cool. Which was what for short?
Hog.
Yeah, Hog. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Huh. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mid Missouri. Rock and roll. It was awesome.
All right, Barry.
Oh, I'm done already?
Oh, no, I'll come back
okay.
to you.
Okay, all right.
Barry, what was the first band you were in, Barry? And what do you play? Sorry, I'm...
Guitar.
Don't know you well.
Yeah.
And,
what was your first band in high school? It's called Skyline.
Yes.
Okay, it wasn't a Tommy Dorsey band?
That's...
All right, gotcha. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Man.
Barry's the oldest. hey! Skyline, this gets great. Okay, and so we'll be back to you. Robbie, what do you play, Robbie?
Drums.
Wonderful. You do a great job. What was your first band you were in?
Washerman's Field.
Here's the scary part is that Robbie's first band opened for Mercy Me years and years and years ago.
What?
We introduced him to the first band.
Yeah,
no way.
I filled in for Mercy Me. They knew these guys that were looking for a drummer. They're like, hey, get this kid.
Yeah.
And Bart's like, I even got your name.
Our first drummer was like Robbie's
name.
Mentor.
Yeah.
And he couldn't make any shows. Like, well, you should use Robbie. He's a good kid. and we couldn't get rid of him.
And by the way, Robbie is from my hometown of Tifton, Georgia.
Tifton, Georgia.
Oh, really? Representing Reading Capital of the World, Turfgrass Capital of the World. Two drummers from Tifton here.
Yeah.
The only one was really good enough to do anything with his life, and that's Robbie?
Yeah.
And then Mike and I started. We wrote our very first song together.
We did.
For a college project. For Mike.
Yeah, I was so in a humanities class, and I had to do something creative. And I was a young guitar player, and I thought, I'll make a guitar case. That'll be creative. And then the day before it was due, when I hadn't even bought wood or latches or even thought of what shape it should be, I decided, hey, Bart, I got to do this project and I have to do something creative. You want to try and write a song? And so we wrote a song, us.
We were not Mercy Me.
We were not Mercy Me. We were just Bart and Mike, I think it was were the Indigo Boys.
Oh, thank goodness you switched to Mercy Me.
Can you sing that song?
Yeah, it was.
I don't think we can.
Well, it
went something like.
It was called All for the One Who Won for All.
It was.
Look at his face.
That sounds like a hit.
I'd like to just go on record as saying, I wrote the musical part.
But what grade did you get?
I got an A. I got an A.
Look at that.
Wait. Beyond that.
Look at it.
The humanities professor guy at the community college also did like a community theater. He was like the guy over that. He asked if Bart could play the lead in, what was it, Jesus Christ Superstar, I think.
Yeah.
And I told him no on Bart's behalf.
And then he said, oh, okay, then you should quit school and start a band then.
And so,
he's
a college professor. You have to do what they say, right?
Well, I'm so glad that the whole band was here this time to talk about the new record, Lifer. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Yes.
Bart, I do hear you have beef with my worship pastor, and you guys got to work that out. Michael Farron said that that you guys would maybe have to get together in a wrestling ring or something to work out your differences.
Anything goes bad, I shake my fist and just say,
I'm saying worship leader totally wrestling could be a thing.
We could do a pay-per-view.
I don't know. He'd probably take me.
We could do a pretty big pay-per-view.
We could gang up on him, though.
He's built.
We could do. We could put that on HBO.
He's got it.
Guys,
he's got
thanks so much for being here. Thank you so
much. Got a strong center of gravity. I don't think I can take him down.
Thanks for listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 41, featuring Mercy Me. If you've made it this far, you obviously love the podcast. So would you consider sharing it with your friends on social media? Any Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter posts only helps more people hear the amazing stories behind these songs. I also love hearing your story, so you're welcome to email me anytime at justin@wayfm.com or just leave me a 5-star review inside iTunes. Real Girl left this 5-star review and said, Justin gets down and gets real. He ushers in deep combos which can help listeners connect to the artists and grow closer to God. Real Girl, thank you so much for those kind words. To connect with the show, find links to my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and even have a chance to win an autographed copy of Mercy Me's Lifer that was featured in this episode, just go to wayfm.com/Justin.